Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a rascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
To awaken, campers. Welcome to the third edition of the evening version of Mark the Rabbit Hole. Tonight, our guest is going to be our good friend, Heather Renee Horton, and she will be joining us in just a couple of moments. You can find her on Facebook. You can also find her at www.mythmandala.com. That's MYTHMANDALA. And you can find her at www.indigochildren.com. And she will be joining us in just a couple minutes. And we are going to do a little spell casting breakdown. The Illuminati, New World Order, oligarchy, whatever you want to call them, definitely in high gear as far as the subliminal messages being sent out there. So we're going to try to decode, if you will, some of the stuff that we're seeing out there in the media, and go over a few news items, if you will. In fact, there is so much stuff going on that my next show on Thursday, March 3rd, which will be at 8 p.m., I will have another guest that will... So we'll sort of be on the same topic, but you will really enjoy her. Her name is Jamie Hanshaw, and you can find her at Freeman TV. And she's a has quite the resume here. She is a second-generation conspiracy theorist. She grew up in the 80s and 90s. Exposed very early to the growing world of truth seekers, alternative historians, Clinton scandals, FEMA activities, and witchcraft in Saturday morning cartoons. Being raised in a Christian church for 25 years and teaching Sunday school, she is knowledgeable of the Bible, the life of Jesus, Islam, Satanism, Mormonism, exorcism, and many other isms. Further studies include the occult activities of secret societies, the Freemasons, magic, sorcery, Kabbalistic rituals, and Hollywood trauma-based mind control. And in fact, today in the mail, I just got her newest book. It's brought to you by Weird Stuff Magazine, and it is called Hollywood Mind Control. And she breaks down some of the things we talk about on my show, and with if you're privy enough to be involved in some of the conversations I have on a daily basis, some of the spells that are being cast and the subliminal, you know, neuro-linguistic programming that we are subjected to. I saw a really good Facebook post a couple days ago talking about, you know, most children nowadays cannot name 10 plants or may have problems naming all the planets, or a lot of people don't know who our presidents were before the last couple, but yet they can probably point out probably hundreds of corporate logos. So as I've said many times before, you know, if you want to communicate a message over the distance of space, time, language barriers, you do this through symbols. And this is how ancient knowledge and wisdom is passed down, through symbols. Even though some of you listening may not be able to read Chinese or French or any other foreign language, you see the golden arches, you know, that's the McDonald's. This is how this works. So that's the weird little things we see in our commercials and the Super Bowl halftime and the Grammy Awards and everything. There's, you know, I just finished watching the DVR of the Grammys a couple days ago, and while some people are looking at the performers and stuff, there's a whole lot of other activities and symbols being thrown at us, if you will. So a lot of this show and our next show is going to be, I have found people smarter than me that are experts in this field, and we will be breaking down some of the stuff that my friends get the two-bit version of, if you will. So, also coming up on the next astrology meetup will be Saturday, February 27th, so a week from this Saturday, and that will be at 7 o'clock in downtown Westerville at Mystic Nirvana, 133 South State Street in beautiful downtown Westerville, it's actually called the Stoner Building. It's a historic building. I believe they actually used to hide slaves in there to help transport them to safety, and lots of other interesting things have happened there. And there's a Catholic bookstore at the bottom there when you go in the front door, and we will be the rowdy group at the top of the stairs. And I want to thank everyone who came out last month, had a gigantic turnout, so I want to thank everyone that showed up. And this month we will finish going through the big energies for 2016 and the key dates, and we'll probably also look at a little bit of the stuff we're going over in tonight's show. Let's see. And so, let's see, astrologically, first of all, it gets a little difficult to kind of sort out all the energies out there. The sun, we've been the recipient of several large solar flares in the last few weeks, solar winds, other things causing disturbances, kind of wreaking havoc with the energy down here. On an astrological note, we had Venus move into Aquarius this past Tuesday, almost 48 hours ago, at 11:17 p.m. So Venus will be in Aquarius, the water bearer, an air sign. It will be in there for about the next 3 weeks until it moves into Pisces, which will be on March the 11th. Check that. That will be March 12th. Venus will go into the sign of Pisces. So we will look at talk with our guest here a little bit about the Venus in Aquarius energy. We have a full moon this Monday, 3 degrees Virgo. The exact full moon is at 1:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, we are still dealing with Mars in Scorpio, which I'm sure a lot of you are feeling. If you're noticing the edginess, stubbornness, let's call it a general pissy energy. We'll just kind of call it that. So that's what we're dealing with here. Mars in Scorpio is about, Mars is our instinctual animal self, instinctual behavior, Scorpio, transformation, drive, energy, ability to finish projects. So I know a lot of people are feeling that energy. So I believe our guest is in the on the line here. So we are going to bring on our guest, Heather Renee Horton.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going. Do you have any feedback that I have?
You sound delightful from my end.
Delightful. I'll take it. I'll just tolerate my own voice and in my own ear, and we'll go from there. Hi.
Okay. Let me know if it doesn't clear up shortly, and we'll just have you call back in and see if that fixes it.
I think it's my headset. But we're good.
Gotcha. So,
hi, darling.
How goes it? How are you doing?
Solar flare. I'm glad you posted something on Facebook about that today. Because I've been going and going and going and going, and today it was like I hit a wall. And, of course, my instinct is to check my, personal transits. And I'm like, no, I should be still going, going, going. But physically, yeah, I kind of felt like I crashed. So solar flares make sense.
Yeah, it's a little, the moon went into Cancer yesterday. Sometimes that has a little bit of a weepy, mellowing effect sometimes. But I found those. Those solar flares take a day or two to reach the Earth. So usually 36, 48 hours after those notifications, I found that a lot of my peeps kind of get floored, if you will. So
I have a distinct response to solar flares, and I have for the last several years, and they literally knock me out.
I have another friend that does that too as well. It's kind of a...
Where
kind of
I hear people saying, I get so energized. It must be solar flare. I'm like, oh, yeah, not here.
Right. Oh, dear goodness. So, I pimped
your
website.
Is that me? Is that my reception that's being crackly?
I think so.
Do you need me to change? Oh,
I mean,
no.
I normally have white noise in my head, so I don't notice it.
But your listeners notice it. That's what matters.
Yes. Yeah. If it doesn't clear up, we can have you call back in and see if there's a better connection. If you're good, okay. So I kind of pimped your websites a little bit at the beginning. So I was privy to, and I'm privy once in a while. I was privy to one of your Myth Mandela sessions at the Universal Life Expo last year, I believe.
Oh yeah, I did a mini presentation on its premise. Yeah.
Okay, so just give us a little rundown of what y'all do.
Well, it's interesting, you know, I'm always behind myself, Mark, because I'm between you and clients recently, all kind of promoting my site, and I'm under complete redesign. Almost the rebranding, and that site is just days from launching. So, but of course, right? I'll get all the people going to the old site first. But so check back in like a week. Myth Mandela. Myth Mandela was the beautiful brainchild that I spent 3 months doing heavy research and writing a 20-page research paper on for my group counseling course in my master's program for mental health counseling. And it was one of those situations. It's fun to brag about this because, you know, who would have thought? I became so obsessed, call it the ADHD brain or those with a Mercury in Sagittarius that does not perform very well. Mercury does not like to be in Sagittarius of all placements. It's its worst performance. So, you know, the idea of ADHD, I really think there's going to be a strong correlation between a Mercury Sag placement for many, many people. But that's a whole side note. Anyway, so I became extremely obsessed with this project and this research I was doing. This is like right on the cusp. Here I am behind myself, right? Right on the cusp of all this mandala coloring. It hasn't come out yet, and it's probably 6 months before all this hits mainstream. So I work on this project, but I don't do a midterm paper because I don't care about the midterm paper. I've decided I'm so obsessed with this final project, right? While all my peers are after that perfect A, I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter because this is going to be my baby. So I turn in my final, and the professor gets back to me and said that it was the most brilliant work of research and encompassing mythology with, the art, kind of art therapy, not full-blown art therapy, but I incorporate some of that. So I used astrology without using astrology in this group therapeutic kind of positive psychology, rewrite your story, which is a very hot topic anymore. And she said it was so good that she gave me a perfect score on the final and would replace the zero I had at the midterm with 100% as well. So that kind of, you know, that was the right kind of, I guess, ego boost I needed to keep propelling this forward in my business. So So, yeah, Miss Mandala. It's a way to learn astrological myth, your own kind of self-discovery and genius, so to speak. It's a way to see your life story and reframe it, retell your story, place yourself as the hero in the hero's journey. I use a lot of Joseph Campbell's work in it, a lot of Jungian work in it. You know, I think as astrologers, we get to a point of the math teacher where we forget that not everybody wants to be a mathematician. So please, you know, teach it to me in a way that it can be useful for my life. And that's the whole premise of Miss Mandala, is to bring it into a creative way of looking at your life's journey without turning you into an astrologer.
Right. That's a very good, important lesson. A lot of us that do this, you know, professionally or, you know, semi-professionally, whatever you want to call it, there's no really good book out there on how to be an astrologer and what to do and everything. So you kind of, a lesson I learned is when I've been teaching classes at Mystic Nirvana for about 6.5 years. When I started, I shouldn't laugh at this, but yet I'm going to. But I used to just like bludgeon people to death with charts. I would just wear people out with just charts and charts every class. And I finally realized, like, you know what? That was probably, like you said, you come to the realization that, like, some people want to learn how to do it. Other people just want, like, the cool info. So I kind of found that
90% of the people that come to us want clarity. And if we're confusing them or being overcomplicated, it doesn't help anyone, right? Because you're not going to get your return client base, and they're not going to get anything out. Because, I mean, and still, even by bringing it down to a very mainstream conversational level, people having a first session with me still walk out of here like a deer in headlights.
Right.
But they come back. So, I think there's, and there's different schools of thought in astrology, too. Going the route of the counselor, I've learned a lot of skills in graduate school to work with people and to utilize myth. I mean, myth is widely used in mental health counseling. So why not take what I love, which would be more occult study, and specifically astrology, and integrate that into the therapeutic environment. So, Myth Mandala, there it is.
Yes,
my baby.
Yeah, I'm finding that I think people are enjoying my classes now more, that I'm doing less math tutoring and more just kind of explaining, like, the general things that are going on and less of the, like, detail-oriented, Mars at 17 Scorpio, I'm kind of finding that people are maybe grasping it better the less of a math class that it is. So kudos to you for probably figuring that out sooner than I did.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I'm a Sag. I'm a storyteller. So telling mythological stories and being able to integrate it in, who knew mandalas were going to be like the big hit? I was so bummed. I was thinking, I did this whole research, this long, grueling research paper, and now everybody's coming out with all these coloring books. What is this? I had someone say to me recently, that there's got to be a collective reason why we're kind of moving from the square to the circle.
That's really funny you mentioned that. That's what I got my sister for Christmas, was some of those adult coloring books. She said they're very calming.
They're great.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote a research paper about how they're calming and soothing, but you can take people with major depressive disorder or anxiety disorder, clinically diagnosed, and run assessments on them prior to giving them Mandala's the color, and then run the assessments afterward, and there is significant change in anxiety levels, in depression lifts. Not entirely, but over time. So it becomes, instead of taking Prozac, which closes you off completely, get a coloring book. Here's what's really interesting, Mark, is within that research, they had people color other items other than mandalas. They did the same kind of artwork within a square, within rectangles, within triangles. So they used various shapes. There was no significant change when asking anxiety or depressed diagnosed individuals. There's no change when they colored within the squares. So if you did the same kind of art, but in a square box, no significant change in symptoms. You do it in a circle and a mandala, significant change. So that supports the kind of work we do, which relies heavily on geometry.
Yes.
And then if we start looking at, the circle, when we encompass the all of the natal chart, it's circular. We encompass that, holistically, we have a better life experience, right? Life improves. I really think knowing my natal chart, just that, dramatically improved my life, and I believe it improves all my clients' lives. However, you and I both know that a square aspect, a 90-degree angle, that square, those points, those are discomfort. And so here we've got people not doing astrology, and they're coloring these square works of art, and they're still in discomfort. I don't know. I'm in the Sag mood. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, Bert.
Preacher, teacher, she's on their soapbox. Here we go.
So I saw you've, and you've been giving some classes on this, correct, where you have people come in and you kind of give them assignments, sort of, where you have them work through the different parts of their hero journey?
We started off with, it's a place in Enon, Ohio, and it's cool, someone just in my Facebook friends, list, posted an article about the supernatural significance of Enon, Ohio. Well, this fantastic woman, Jan Augenstein, she is a real estate agent with Coldwell Banker here locally. She got this cool little commercial space in Enon, and she named it My Nest because it's her nest. Her specialty is like feng shui, interior design, decluttering. The woman has a beautiful eye for interior decorating, and she had asked me to come and do something with astrology. So I started Cosmic Cocktails. That was the first thing we did. And we had a big group come in, and everyone, was BYOB, and we had a good time. And then we did another group where I think they were passing around a bottle of Fireball, just doing shots. And it became, Sagittarius have that awkward humor, right? We're not necessarily as funny as a Virgo like Dave Chappelle or Gemini like Tasha, right? Because we miss the mark for some reason, but that's part of what makes us funny, is that Sag, like, awkward humor, or maybe it's the bluntness. So that's what Cosmic Cocktails has kind of turned into, gallery-style readings with stand-up comedy and alcohol. We do Cosmic Coffee, which is more speaks to my Capricorn side. I'm a Capricorn ascendant. My Venus is in Capricorn. So, you know, we have coffee and everyone gets their planners out, including myself, and we jot down day by day major aspects and moon phases, and everyone has their chart with them, and we, you know, plan. We plan the month ahead. And you're able to collaborate, almost like a mastermind, you know? I had one guy last month, we spent a lot of time on his chart because he had a lot of significant triggers. And so all of us were able to help him brainstorm the month based off the transit and how it affected his chart personally. This weekend, we've added a condensed myth mandala group, which seems to have gotten a lot of attention, a lot of interest. We're going to do vision boards, kind of based off Fabian symbols. That'll be fun. What else? I've got cosmic coffee, of course, in the morning. We've got the notes of fate. I don't know. I should change that to a sex group, Mark. Pretty sure that should change to a sex group. I have a feeling I'll get a whole lot larger of a group if I change it to, like, Venus, Mars, and your Pluto sexual obsessions. I mean, they'll sell out in an hour versus the notes of fate. Like, go to your bliss. I don't think everybody's like, yeah, okay. But, you know, you and I both know that that can work as a big opportunity for personal growth. We'll see how it goes this weekend.
Yeah,
and then get everybody drunk and send them home. Sounds good.
Very Sagittarian of you.
Yes, indeed.
How do people, if they want to get involved with that, if you're in the, Heather is down in the Yellow Springs area.
Happy Hippieville.
Happy Hippieville. So how would, if somebody is in that area or wanted to travel down, how would they find out about the classes and where to go? And
well, let's see. I have, if you're on Facebook, like, I don't know, 90% of the population is. I have Cosmic Cocktails, Cosmic Coffee, and it has a / cocktails as a group, and you can ask to join that group. I make occasional posts that are relevant to either major transits or the groups that are upcoming. It's a place people can ask questions and find out when the next groups are. They tend to be third Saturday of every month. That's approximately when the sun changes signs. So that's a new push of energy for everyone to focus on and learn about in their month ahead. MythMandala.com, the new website, you'll be able to book from there and get more information. Just give me a couple more days, people. And then Eventbrite, you can search Cosmic Cocktails or Cosmic Coffee in Eventbrite and get tickets that way.
And Enon is close to Yellow Springs down there, correct?
Yeah, it's about 10 miles west.
Fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so sounds like you have lots going on down there.
I mean, I just took up about 20 minutes of your time talking about me.
Oh, no, that's absolutely fine. So, the other reason I wanted to have you on is, and I'm going to try not to sound like just a rambling idiot, because I get into so many conversations with people, and we did, you know, different shows and whatnot, and I don't know who I've said what to as far as explaining this stuff, but this is...
Mark, you and I have a lovely bond in
yeah.
the world of occult symbolism. For whatever reason, we have been brought together to validate each other when the rest of the world looks at us and goes, what the hell are you talking about? Or, you saw what?
I heard a great phrase. I know the look you're talking about. I heard a great phrase for it. It's called the fluoride stare.
That's, oh my gosh, Mark, that's it.
I forget.
Holy
right.
Crap.
So, I told whoever, wherever I got that from, I told them I would be stealing that, so, stolen.
That is it.
Right. So the first few months, let's go back, even from last year, last couple months of last year till now, has just been an Illuminati spell fest is the only thing that I can...
Our entire existence has been a freaking spell fest. Are you kidding me? I think more people are starting to see it.
Right, right. I mean, I just don't even know.
Oh my
gosh,
you're tongue twisted because of it.
It is. I have like 19 thoughts in my head at once. So,
where would you like to begin? You pick a location and I'll just yap about it.
Okay. So we've got...
We go into the Super Bowl, we go into the Grammys. We talked about Apple's message to its customers. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk more about fluoride? We can do that too.
Okay. So I'm just going to start here with the stuff that started late last year. And I'm just gonna show you one of, and I've gotten in arguments with people over this before, but to me one of the rules of spell,
we're gonna go there with the witchy shit. Can we cuss on this show? Because I got a big fetch mouth. I can't help it. It just happens.
Yeah, I think you're fine.
Okay.
So they tie these the way the media works. If you pick up the newspaper, they tie unrelated things together, and things that do go together, they separate them. So that's how the information flow is controlled. And just the oldest example, I guess, is the Statue of Liberty, and we have that the poem. I didn't mean to go back 250 years, but I guess I did.
I mean, you better finish it, because I
want to
know what you're about to say.
Okay. So, there's that famous poem, give us your tired, your poor, your downtrodden, and whatever. And so people tie that to, the Statue of Liberty is this wonderful thing that is, showing, give us your unwanted people, and we'll raise them up and everything. But the person who wrote that poem is not the person who created the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty is based on the goddess Semiramis or Columbia. You know how religion works. It's one god, then another country invades them, keeps the same god statues, and just changes the name, changes the holidays.
Right,
yada,
right.
So... Right. So that poem about give us your tired, your poor, and your weak has nothing to do with the statue. That was one person's impression of what it meant. I mean, the Statue of Liberty is an ancient pagan goddess, holding the lighted torch, Columbia, which is why we have all the sacrifices that, Space Shuttle Columbia, Columbine,
Well, what do you mean that's why? What do you mean that's why they have... Like, can you elaborate on that part? That's where I'm already thrown.
Well, I mean,
why do they have the sacrifices that involve names such as Columbine? I mean, you're in Columbus.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is,
we're on the list.
When's that going to go down?
It will go down at some point here. We just had a hatchet attack at a restaurant last week.
Hatchet?
I'm sorry, machete.
A machete?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's just crazy Columbus people. That's not planned.
Right. But we'll have our event. We'll have our event someday.
That somebody pissed off that the Buckeyes lost for once. Thank God for once. God, I'm going to have so many people hate me after the show. They never lose. It's so annoying.
Right.
Anyway.
But anyway, just that's just, I mean, Columbia Pictures is the, you know, the logo is, you know, Columbia is the same god as Semiramis, same goddess at the Statue of Liberty. It's just back to the, how the symbols are passed along. And so we are unknowingly being fed information and symbols, and that is, you know, the best, at the very beginning of the show I said something, that's how, you know, the best way to communicate, if you're looking to communicate through various languages and time periods and whatnot, is by symbols.
Well, even though, I mean, that's the very basic of psychology.
Right.
Absolutely. It's all symbols. And the fact that people can't wrap their brain around that confuses me. But, yeah, everything's symbols. The letters we form words with are symbols. I mean, everything's symbols. It all breaks down to that simplistic form, or, for argument's sake, quite complicated form.
Right, right. I mean, so just, I mean, there's just different, you know, events that kind of, you know, we had the terrorist attacks in France late last fall. That was in Paris.
Oh, I'm glad you're going there. I'm so glad you're going there, because this is going to connect all the way to the Apple message.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Did you read that whole Apple message?
I did not read the entire, I didn't get to the end of it, no.
Mark, you need to go to commercial and go read that right now.
We'll let you post in here in a second. But here, I'll start the thread and then you give us.
I'm quite excited, as you can tell.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, we had the Paris, France terrorist attacks, you know, the Eagles of Death Metal from America, you know, America's symbol, the Eagle, was the band that was playing there. You know, and then we have the San Bernardino shootings, and as I believe if you had sent me a picture of the map, I believe you and I were talking over text, and we saw there was a little town named Paris right down the street from it, right down from San Bernardino.
Yeah.
And
wait,
so
it was, what? It's wait. I'm pretty sure it was 11 miles northeast of Paris.
Yeah, it was very
California.
Close to where the military training exercises were going on and police training exercises were going on at the same exact time. And as you know by now, every time they say there's an exercise going on, it's a staged event. And essentially Jade Helm, everyone was like, well, how come nothing happened at Jade Helm? Well, it was training for the military and the police for these crazy events that they will, you know, many of the people involved that were at San Bernardino where the shootings happened said that they saw three large, stocky white males with machine guns. Not one guy, one Muslim guy and one very small Muslim woman, who then drove in circles around the city to get away from the police. I mean, just freaking nonsense. I mean, they supposedly live there. They don't know the way around the town. They don't know directions. So, you know, that was something to spark, you know, more of the anti-Muslim fervor. And then just an interesting thing, too, you know, the Miss Universe pageant, which was in early January. That was at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas, I believe. It was right next to the Paris Hotel. And right next to the Paris Hotel was where supposedly the crazed homeless woman drove. Now, I don't know. So the crazed homeless woman drove onto the sidewalk, injured several people and killed a couple right in front of the Paris Hotel, right after the other two attacks in or near places named Paris. And then inside the Planet Hollywood there in Las Vegas, Steve Harvey, there's the Capricorn, where, you know, Pluto sitting very near his sun, was doing the crowning the Miss Universe. He accidentally crowns Miss, what country? Colombia.
No.
And so that he accidentally crowns Miss Columbia, whose birthday was December 25th. Actually, the Miss Universe pageant was like December 22nd, I think. It was right on the solstice, 3 days before her birthday, and of course 3 days before the Christian holiday of Christmas. So he removes the crown from her head. The Capricorn removes the crown from Miss Columbia's head, and then gives it on to Miss Philippines, I believe it was. So,
interesting.
I mean, right. So then you have that.
You're telling me. Now, had you not said Miss Columbia, like, had you said anyone else, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, we're trying to find the conspiracy here. But the fact that it's Miss Columbia, so she's crowned and then she's dethroned, basically.
Right, and someone is
killed
right at the Paris Hotel, right next door, as this is going on.
So, cut back to the Statue of Liberty being decrowned, right?
Right, exactly.
Dethroning Liberty. Oh my God, I didn't even know that. Here's what I wanted to connect to as well. For those that did read the message from, I believe he's the CEO, right, Tim Cook, of Apple?
Okay.
In which he says a message to our customers, you know, the U.S. government demanded that we threaten our customer security. So I won't read the whole thing. However, halfway through, there is a title that says the San Bernardino case. Wow, Heather. We are shocked and outraged by the deadly act of terrorism in San Bernardino last December. I don't laugh at the loss. I laugh at my pronunciation. We mourn the loss of a life, want justice for all the lives that were affected. The FBI asked us for help in the days following the attack, and we have worked hard to support the government's efforts to solve this horrible crime. We have no sympathy for terrorists. When the FBI has requested data that's in our possession, we have provided it. Apple complies with valid subpoenas and search warrants, as we have in the San Bernardino case. We have also made Apple engineers available to advise the FBI, and we've offered our best ideas on a number of investigative options at their disposal. We have a great respect for the professionals of the FBI, and we believe their intentions are good. Up to this point, we have done everything that is both within our power and within the law to help them. But now the U.S. government has asked us for something we simply do not have and something we consider too dangerous to create. They have asked us to build a backdoor to the iPhone. This all connects to that case, by the way. That's the excuse. Wow. So to finish just this section of the letter directly related to that, specifically the FBI wants us to make a new version of the iPhone operating system, circumventing several important security features, and install it on an iPhone recovered during the investigation. In the wrong hands, this software, which does not exist today, would have the potential to unlock any iPhone in someone's physical possession. The FBI may use different words to describe this tool, but make no mistake. Building a version of iOS that bypasses security in this way would undeniably create a backdoor. And while the government may argue that its use would be limited to this case, there is no way to guarantee such control. So, kudos to Tim Cook for putting his career on the line.
Or life.
And the or life on the line in such a fashion. So that's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
Right. Because I have many.
So that case that happened, 11 miles, 11 is considered symbolic for wake up.
Yep.
Right? It's also a higher spiritual master if you look into numerology and want to go off well with it. But the symbolic code, as my understanding has it, especially in the Masonic world, is wake up. Pay attention. San Bernardino is 11 miles. Now, somebody's going to Google that and be like, no, it's not, Heather. It's 9.2. Okay, that's 11. north of Paris. And now it is the excuse to demand of Apple engineers to create a back door. Wow. That's called cyber prison.
Isn't there an old book that talks about the apple being knowledge?
Well, of course.
So they're wanting to symbolically open the apple of knowledge to...
They're wanting to poison the apple. And what's interesting, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is Snow White's queen that poisons the apple and, you know, wants her to take a bite, taking away her purity and knocking her ass out. I mean, really, which is Iris, right? I mean, the discovery of Iris comes, what, around 2005?
I believe so.
And who is Iris? I mean, Iris is like... She's pissed off. She is a justice warrior. She's got the apple of knowledge, and now we're looking at, like, the sinister view of it, right?
Yep.
The poisoned apple versus maybe, you know, so it's like, you know, have you seen the show Once? Disney's Once? How you want a cult, like... orgasmic experience for those of us that are obsessed with symbols. Watch that. That'll keep your brain tingling forever. Like, ugh. Anyway, so what I like about their presentation of Snow White is she's a warrior. Right? She's a huntress. She flees her stepmother, the evil queen, who's jealous of her. It's all about the moon, too, by the way. Her stepmother's almost at a full moon and is starting to wane, and Snow White is like a new moon, a waxing moon, starting to peak, so there's that jealousy there. But Snow White is not like the animated version, you know, of the 50s that was all sweet and pure and soft-spoken. I mean, she's a huntress. Learns how to live with the men, right, live with these dwarves, these miners, and survive. So kind of going the idea of Iris being pissed off. It's like the counterpart to, Iris is the counterpart to Mars, the female to Mars.
Right.
Did I just go somewhere totally, like, off?
No, I mean, it just followed the thread, too. Even, I mean, the year started off with David Bowie dying or whatever. You know, he was most famous for, you know, Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. And then, you know, just the other night on the Grammys, we had Bruno Mars, and we had Lady Gaga, who is in Aries, which is ruled by Mars, doing the David Bowie tribute.
Nice, a nice segue from my Iris being the female counterpart, the, like, sister to Mars, because I went on a tangent there for a minute. But it connected to the apple. It did connect.
It did.
It will all tie back together in the end. So with Mars being in Scorpio and going to take a retrograde cycle within Scorpio and all this, you know, talk about banging the drums of war with that halftime ritual. I didn't even watch it. I don't even need to watch it. I can just tell you, with all that Mars energy, oh my God. And did Gaga wear some sparkly red, like waving the red flag?
She did. Yeah, I mean, she did the
National Anthem
banner at the beginning. She wasn't in the halftime. The halftime was Coldplay and Bruno Mars again, and some others. people, but yeah, I mean, cold. Well, here, let's switch to the Super Bowl and the election symbology here. In the before the Super Bowl, like a couple weeks before the Super Bowl, there was a playoff game that went to overtime. It was tied, so it went to overtime. At the beginning, just like at the beginning of the game, at the beginning of overtime, they do a coin flip. I've watched football since I was 7. I've never seen an example where they said the coin didn't flip. In this game, the Cardinals-Packers game that went to overtime, they said the coin didn't flip, and they had to reflip it. So was that a message that it was a two-sided coin? I mean, like double-sided is what I meant to say. And that the fix or something was in? Because then you go to a couple weeks after that, we had the Iowa caucus to kick off the presidential election season, really. And supposedly, after several recounts, this was in Iowa, Bernie Sanders had a lead over Hillary Clinton, ended up tied after several recounts, and then supposedly the rules for breaking a tie for the delegates is they go into a back room and do a coin flip. And supposedly Hillary
Clinton,
I'm not making this up. This is the news media that people listen to and follow and believe this bullshit. They actually said that Hillary Clinton won 6 consecutive coin flips. That she picked the right side 6 times in a row. She won all 6.
Are you kidding me right now? It comes down to a coin toss. This is a joke.
This is the official story. People actually believe that this was not rigged. And so after
of course,
that,
I mean, of course, it's all going to be manipulated in favor of Hillary.
Right, of course, of course.
If Bernie gets in, which will be, I don't endorse anybody at this point, but, I mean, if Bernie gets in, then thank God I'm wrong for one.
Right.
Because I'm really, like, I don't like when I'm right about this stuff. It sucks, and I don't know why my brain goes there, why I see it, and it happens, but it is favored for Hillary.
Yes, absolutely. And so then the next part of this is the week after that was the Super Bowl. We had the Broncos and the Panthers. The Panthers were favored by a fair amount. So another one of these little ha-ha things they talk about on the news is for the Super Bowl, because it's played at a neutral site, they paint one end zone each team's colors. So there should have been one end zone painted for the Broncos and one for the Panthers. But they actually, again, you can Google this, they released this, they accidentally painted both end zones for the Broncos originally. So again, for the third time, they're telling you it's not a two-faced, it's not a two-sided coin. This is rigged. This is fixed. They're telling you again that any kind of two-sided.
Oh, talk about fixed.
Right.
And the whole, I mean, what stood out to me, I did not watch the game. I still have not watched. This is the first halftime show I have not watched and taken the time to analyze. And it's taken everything in me not to do it because we all love how, know how I love to go there. It's my Pluto, I suppose. So, the first thing that, I'm like, how do I want to present this appropriately? It's a racial divide and conquer is the subliminal messaging. The Panthers, the Black Panthers versus the white Broncos. Robert Phoenix confirmed for me, he's freaking brilliant at decoding these things as well. Confirmed for me that, or brought to my attention, that Denver usually wears white. Or no, that they usually wear orange or blue, right? And that they didn't, they wore white for the Super Bowl. Is that, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see it. Is that what they wore white?
they do a flip usually to decide who the home team is, and the home team usually wears white. That's usually how it works.
Oh, okay. Well, so they were white, correct? What were the Panthers in?
The Panthers wore their dark, they have like blue jerseys.
Okay. All I'm saying is the Black Panthers versus the white Broncos. And then from what I understand at the halftime show, Beyonce does a big Black Panthers tribute, which is great. I think that's awesome. We're like, you know, I think it's great. What I don't like is the like spell casting intentional divide and conquer efforts. That's what I don't like. All done on purpose. And damn, if you don't get on social media the next day and everybody's bitching about, you know, and then there's two sides. You know, everybody's already divided. Oh, I can't believe it. That's a Black Panthers tribute. And then everybody, you know, then we've got the other side going, oh, it was so awesome she did this Black Panthers tribute. So total divide has an opportunity to conquer. As long as they keep us in some sort of racial war across the board, or religious divide, whatever it is, as long as they continue to keep us divided, they always win, and they know it. It's annoying.
Yes. And two, you know, just another interesting thing there with this, the Super Bowl, that one of the big things is the commercials. And the big commercial this year was the Puppy Monkey Baby.
Oh, my God. I'm so upset with myself for even watching that. I looked it up the next day. I watched it, and I thought I was going to vomit.
Well, I
watched it the one time. I wasn't willing to go back like I used to be and dive too far into it. A lot of threes going on there. What's the puppy? Like, the monkey and the baby, I can make connections to.
Well, I think it was for Mountain Dew, and their tagline was three of the best things together. So I don't know if that was kind of a Holy Trinity thing, you know.
What were the three things? I remember caffeine was one.
Oh, I don't know what the actual thing. It was puppy, monkey, and baby. I don't know what.
Right, and I am willing to put money that there is a connection to those three and the three, like, the tagline of the three, and then the three men.
Right.
Disturbing.
The three wise men, maybe. That commercial came out on the day, that was the day before Chinese New Year. What's the year this year
for China? Of the fire monkey, right.
Right, so you're the monkey, you're the fire monkey. And our friend E pointed something out to me, too, that there is, not to go on to a whole other tangent, but there's lots of symbolism in the Stanley Kubrick movies, and a lot of them show where he was involved with making some of the moon landing videos, and there's a Jay Widener has like a 4-hour video breaking down all the subtle little hints and things in it. But there's actually, in that commercial, there's a scene where the monkey is standing next to a speaker, and it looks like the scene where the apes are next to the monolith in 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Interesting. Damn, I knew I should have bought that the other day. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why my brain goes to all these dark places. It just does. I'm really a happy person, by the way. I am. I'm a jovial fetch, but I just see these things. I don't know. I don't know why I see them. Blame my Mercury. Galactic center placement, 12th house, fetch. I mean, it doesn't get any worse. Just all that. Here's, you know, my... I guess, question, really, is I'm trying not to get to the point where I'm like, what is the point of trying to expose or discuss or awaken anyone to this stuff? But then there's also that drive in me to keep doing it, you know, to make people aware, to shake people awake, to hope that they see it. I don't know. Why do you do it, Mark?
Right. Well, it's just a natural attraction. But the thing, a friend of mine, Katie Galani, posted a really good thing that the other day that I shared on my wall about, you know, what we have to call this out. And I mean, to me, the spell work is done out there, you know, it's all done, you know, it's done electronically now, just like everything else. Spells are cast electronically. And so, you know, they program our brains and stuff, you know, with all these symbols and everything. But at a point, I mean, it's like we have to call the stuff out. We have to say, hey, we know what you're doing. It's like, you know, it's like in the Dracula movies. The vampire has to be invited in. Can't just come in.
They
have to show us what they're going to do beforehand. And if we don't, at least on a subconscious level, refute it and say, no, I don't accept this. And this allows them to go out with their plan. And that's why we see so many movies and stuff where, you know, The Simpsons had something crashing into the Twin Towers, you know, 3 years before 9/11. And there's hundreds of examples of different things that show up in movies before the event actually happens. And it's kind of, it's like product placement. If we don't call this stuff out and refute it, then that is, you know, unwilling consent. Or
so here's the fine line.
Subliminal
here's
consent.
Here's the fine line. My, for example, my non-participation at all during the life of event or thereafter, is that me saying no? Or am I just allowing it to, do you see what I'm saying? For so
yeah.
The people that didn't watch the Super Bowl, that don't watch TV, they don't stay in that, they're not agreeing to the spell because they're just not participating, right? Or are they just victims of mass brainwashing and are fine, brainwashing was extreme. I feel like I heard someone in the audience say, like, I'm not brainwashed. Yeah, you are. Programmed, all of us, what's called programming.
right.
But,
vision program. yeah.
So many places I can go with this. I mean, I basically just want to say, get a pen and paper and write these following down and Google them.
Right. No, I understand your question, and I've run across that recently, and I think what it is. Is I don't when you're not watch, I don't think you should have to watch this stuff. I understand people who don't. I know a lot of people don't have TVs and stuff like that, and I understand that. However, I think
are they just not interested? But are they still therefore complying with the spell being cast by just living their life and not participating?
Right.
Do you see where?
Yes, I understand I understand the question. I think how I see it is, it's not that you're going along with the spell if you're not actively watching and refuting it, but I think they've turned a lot of the good people off to getting involved in breaking down the spells or getting involved in politics. Or, you know, just being involved in stuff because it's almost like too much dark matter to take in for some people. And that's fine. I understand it. But it's like it's one less person who's there to debunk or uncast the spell. So it's not like you're going along with it, but they're polluting the minds. They're poisoning the apple, the collective unconsciousness, with this stuff. So it's not that you have to watch the Super Bowl or the Grammys to point out what they're doing, but it's just that they're still poisoning the environment around you And so that's why
okay, fair enough. So now my question is,
point it out.
The dilemma now stands. By pointing it out, are we putting too much attention to it and therefore still feeding the beast, or are we snapping people out of it by pointing it out and maybe temporarily bringing it some energy, but then directing people away from that? Because at the end of the day, if you want to break this down to more less witchy, and although witch means wit, which is intelligence, but less witchy and more sciencey, okay? Then we're looking at the quantum level. If you want to make it more science-based, you know, what in the hell are Heather and Mercury even talking about here? That's crazy. If you take it to a scientific level, and you and I both know that random number generator experiments have been going on for years and years and years, which is why we have evidence that mass meditation works, that it can alter a random number generator anywhere in the world. We know that there was a collective spike result in random number generators on 9/11 based off of emotional reaction of masses of people's feelings and thoughts, right? So if we look at it from more of a scientific perspective, this is where my dilemma lies. Because if we're pointing attention to it and we're breaking down what the spell is, so we're giving attention to it, that means it should have a spike, right? It already has a spike from all the people cheering at the Super Bowl and watching it live and inadvertently having an emotional and thought participation in the spell. That's, we can't get everybody, but it only takes 20% of a population to shift a consciousness in a new direction. So back to the dilemma.
Correct.
Do we point it out so they turn away from it? I think you have to. I think you have to get angry about it. I think you have to see it and go, holy shit.
Right.
That is what they're doing. Oh my gosh. I'm not going to participate, not because I used to love football. You still love football. And the halftime shows and the whole thing until I put all of it together and went, ah, damn. Well, now I just like to read anyway, but, you know, different life stages. But in general, you know, do you choose to walk away once you're aware of it? I think the universe as well, or the collective unconscious as well, when you're aware of something, whew, responsibility gets a lot higher. A lot higher.
So right.
Then I turn this into an ignorance is bliss argument. See, I'm going to take it. We need hours. You need hours to have me on, Mark. Are you in thought? What's happening? Did I lose you? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Okay, we got to boot it off there for a second. So, just in case, looks like we have lost our guest. Oh, here we go. Okay, you back with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got kicked off. Just in case you guys think we're nuts, every time, Heather and I have done many shows on my show, and
Mark, every time, sorry.
Every time we get on this topic, we get cut off.
I
every
get kicked
time.
Off.
So,
Mark,
not...
this should not be happening. I left my show 2 years ago for this exact reason, because every show I did, once I got on that roll and was to a point of making things really click, I'd get pulled off air.
Yep.
And it just happened again.
Yeah, I've not gotten kicked off in the middle of a show in a long time. So it just, every time we hit that topic, no matter whose show it is. So I'm not
it
sure.
It happened
what,
on every show, every live show I did, I would get kicked off air. And it became so, you know, in 3D and, you know, in mainstream, because I know I had people that were listening that wouldn't necessarily be interested in the subject matter, but just curious. And I'd get kicked off. And so I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. It's embarrassing. And I blamed my network, frankly. Now I can't do that. I'm sorry, network. Turns out it wasn't you. It was me. Holy crap. Hindsight's 2020.
Yes. So...
Wow.
So, yeah, so...
Took me right off air.
I know, and I don't know exactly where we were when we got cut off there, but, I mean, I think it's part of the job to decipher and decode that stuff and point it out to people. And, yes, maybe it feeds a little bit into that energy, and we don't want to put anger or... intense emotions.
But I think anger is what gets people to switch. It's complacency that keeps them watching. You need to get pissed off and be like, I can't believe this. I'm not going to watch that this year. On principle.
Right. Because like on, you know, on Super Bowl Sunday and when on the Grammys were on and stuff, I mean, the Facebook feed is kind of nothing but I hate football and all this stuff, and it's like, you know, I've worked in the sports field for 30 years, so obviously I'm going to like it. But to me, when I watch anything like that, it's all an astrology show to me, because I've got the charts of the teams and the players, and I'm looking at the symbolism. I had a few people over to watch the game, and one guy had never sat with our group before. And he was kind of like, wow, I didn't see all that stuff that was going on. I didn't see all the symbolism. I didn't see all the things in the logos and the, you know, I
think that's makes it hard for people like you and I, that most people don't see it. And when we try to point it out to them, because we do see it and we're passionate about it because we understand the implications and the agenda, makes it hard.
Right.
You fit into the mainstream and you like to do mainstream things. And then that question comes up, what do you do?
Right.
Let me tell you, you just opened a door you right. regret opening.
Careful how much you want to hear. Yeah, but I mean, it's as crazy as, like, the Super Bowl 50 logo, when you looked at it at a certain angle, it kind of looked like the Twin Towers. And so the Super Bowl game was on CBS, and so the camera would be following the, if somebody was running by midfield, you've got the all-seeing eye, the CBS logo, right lined up with the Twin Towers. I mean...
Wow.
I mean, I just, when I'm watching something and when somebody else is watching something, we're watching two different things.
Oh, that's the story of my life.
It may be a boring football game or a boring awards show or something, but I'm watching something different than you are.
Mm-hmm. I understand that all too well.
I'm not getting bored. I'm, like, just picking out all the... Sometimes I forget the games going on or the awards or whoever's performing, and it's like... just like...
Mark, it's so bad that my kids do it.
Huh?
It's so bad in my world that my children do it.
Oh, they pick out all... They can pick out all the symbols.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't she such a Pisces? Look at her. Like, she is just... La La Land. She's so... She's so... And now I just upset the Pisces. Yeah, my kids do it all the time. Mom, don't you think that's so Saturn? That's so Saturn. That character, that cartoon character, that's... And that one right there, that's Jupiter. And I think that character, that's a Gemini. Oh, yeah. They do it all the time. It's great.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it takes... takes many years of deconditioning for a lot of us to get to that point.
Well,
where
I mean, and I've talked about this 100 times over the years. It's social policing. Social policing is the most broken way to keep people in line.
Right.
Just have them police each other. That's all you got to do. Judgments, name brands, conversation topics. You know, all the gossip is warned about in the Bible, but then you see there's gossip magazines and, you know, you've got Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood, so you've got more gossip, and it's just all projected constantly that that is the way to behave. And then if you don't participate in it, actually happened to a little girl today, my daughter's friend, came home with her crying, and I talked to her, you know, about what's going on, and she chose not to participate in gossip and slander, and they all turned on her for it, and she ended up the one being tormented because she went participate in the torment of a third party that they were talking about. Isn't that, that's social policing?
Yep, she
learned from our parents. They learned it from their parents. She learned from her parents not to participate in that. Hence the reason she's friends with my child. And the other kids weren't going to have it.
Right. You know, David Icke talks about this in one of his lectures. And he's like, you know, it's not that you're afraid of... I mean, we've outdone the sheep. At least sheep need sheepdogs to herd them around. We've one-upped the sheep. We don't even need the sheepdogs. I mean, it's not... I mean, I'm not afraid of the police or the military coming and asking what I'm doing or what I'm thinking. It's, you know, you're afraid of, you know, what do your coworkers think? What do your family think? What do your, you know, what is, you know, if you go on a date, what are they going to think? If you, you know, it's not the, you know, oh, I care what, I'm worried what my senator will think. I mean, nobody cares what their senator thinks. But it is. It's the social conditioning. It's the people around you. Am I going to be a pariah or an outcast at work if I tell them that the Grammys was a Saturn worship? Because I mean, it was all any kind of black tie affair. That's all Saturn worship. And 2/3 of the people on the stage were Sagittarians. Saturn's in Sagittarius right now, so it was just honoring and just worshiping the Sagittarius energy, or the Saturn energy. I mean, it's just... you tell people, and it's just...
I mean, you have to get to a point, though, where... And I think it's a point where clearly you are. I've gotten to that point. I still have my moments where I'm like, why? Why can I not just shut up about it? And I think, and participate in the game, but the game is part of the problem. And, you know, so then it all comes back to, well, it looks like I'm just going to fly solo then.
Right.
I mean, really, it's good. Hello.
Oh, well, I just, yeah, I can keep my mouth shut for a while. You know, but then when you're around just the gossiping and the bland talk and stuff, at some point I have to say, oh, that's Semiramis. That's an ancient pagan deity. And, you know, and it's like crickets, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it can be a downer for people, and I don't think that's your intention, nor is it my intention. It's bringing that apple out and saying, here, here's the non-GMO apple. Taste that. Ooh, pretty colors.
Right.
Look at all the knowledge.
Right. I mean, so I just started a new 3D job right before Thanksgiving and stuff. And so, you know, I keep my crazier thoughts to myself most of the time. But still, you know, you find those little opportunities where, you have these programmed answers and stuff that you can give to things. But every once in a while, it's like, you know, you just throw something.
We kind of got on a tangent because I think we both are sensitive to getting opposition from trying to be helpful to the collective. You know, it's bigger than you and it's bigger than me. And I think we're both sensitive to that, but it comes back around to the dilemma of do you or don't you and why. I mean, and I don't think we can even, you know, we already got cut off here for that discussion. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot more other than leaving people with that thought, you know.
Right.
What is the moral ethical dilemma posed to pointing out what is going on? And it is going on. It is very, very, as her name is Lucy. She's an astrologer. She writes for Hexagon Magazine, by the way. Hexagon Magazine. I write for Hexagon Magazine. Got picked up by Barnes & Noble. It's in over half their stores nationwide. The magazine's international. I caught a picture on Facebook of someone reading my article in New Zealand. I thought that was pretty cool. Hexagon Magazine. Google that, order it. It is written by amazing astrologers and with mainstream topics that appeals to a mainstream audience. You do not have to be an astrologer to read this magazine. You do have to be highly intelligent to read this magazine. You have to be able to connect dots, but you don't have to be an astrologer to enjoy it. It's not geared toward that audience, towards astrologers. It's geared towards mainstream. That's why Barnes & Noble picked it up. So a little sidetrack there, but Lucy Madame Zalonga, or I can't pronounce her name, I'm so sorry, I just butchered it. She is an amazing astrologer. She writes the horoscopes in there, and she made a remark on my Facebook thread about that stupid monkey baby thing, that most advertising, not your local advertiser, your national and international advertising or promotional events like the Grammys or the Super Bowl are very, very, very well paid black magic. Very well paid.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I have too much integrity to accept all those zeros because, man, if I did, life would be so different.
Madame Zalonga, that's her name.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Mark.
Yes, it is about that time.
I love
time.
You dearly. It is about that time. You are a dear friend to me, and I adore you, and I appreciate you having me on and letting me ramble and hopefully not put my foot in my mouth too terribly as the Sag course tends to do.
We appreciate. I've had all this stuff bursting in my head, and it's like I don't think we've laid everything out in one strand, just in snippets here and there. So I wanted to have somebody on that I knew understood the magic that was going on.
Yeah, it's upsetting. It's interesting, but it's upsetting.
Right. But see, to me now, it's. God, and maybe I've just warped myself to a degree that, but to me, it's it's not I've gotten to where like it doesn't upset me any. I look at it. It's more like doing a Rubik's Cube. I look at it. I see what it is. Oh, that's a spell for the goddess Columbia. Whatever. That's what it is. I see what it is. I don't even hear the music or the song that's playing. I go on. I don't. It used to disturb me,
so
but
you
it does.
A little more objective about it.
Yeah, I can just see it, call it out. What it's like trying to dissect the puzzle. And I dissect what the puzzle is, and then I go on, you know, to the next thing. And I don't...
You know, I think I could say I'm closer to that than what you and I used to be.
Yes.
Gosh, people only knew our private conversations. There was a lot of passion behind this stuff a couple of years ago, and then it kind of tapered off, and it was like, you know what? It's not changing. So, yeah, now it is kind of trying to be objective about it and seeing what's attempted to be done. And, you know, that's a whole other show about, you know, what you think about, you bring about, all those little cliches and what you focus on and, you know.
Right.
Maybe there is another reason. I can tell you, I've got clients blown me up over the last few days. What's going on? What's going on? And I'm like, something's going on. Everything's great for me.
Right.
But, you know, I could be, you know, consciously creating a reality that is removed from what the collective is doing. Possibly. I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility.
Yes.
Therefore, we all could do that. Oh, that's a whole other show.
Right.
That's like hypnosis or something. I don't know. But I must go. I have a 8:00.
Yes. Okay. So thank you for spending some time with us and helping us break down all these shenanigans. And, of course, we have the Olympics coming up this year, so I'm sure there'll be more and the elections and everything.
That'll be fun.
We'll have you back on. A little bit down the road.
Thanks, dear. MissMandala.com next week. And Hexagon Magazine. Pick it up. Yeah. Matt Savner is the creator of that. It's brilliant. And
thanks.
I adore you. And I'm hanging up on you.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. That was our guest, Heather Renee Horton, a good friend of ours. I know some of the information here sounds probably a little bit crazy, as do many of the things that come out of my mouth. But I want to thank everyone for listening. Astrology Meetup, February Astrology Meetup, next Saturday, February 27th, 7 p.m. at Mystic Nirvana in downtown Westerville. Thursday, March 3rd will be the next episode of the Rabbit Hole. Guest will be Jamie Hanshaw, master at dissecting spells and the Illuminati agenda. Her mother performed exorcisms. She is really well versed in all of this neuro-linguistic programming. Again, she's got 3 books that you can get on Amazon. It's called Weird Stuff. The newest one that just came out very recently. Hollywood Mind Control goes into some of the stuff we talked about tonight with the symbolism and a lot of the music icons and some of the symbology and the spells and the creepy stuff going on in the background there. Will be a fascinating conversation on Thursday, March the 3rd. So I think think I've shared enough craziness for one evening.
Don't go chasing rabbits.
Yes, don't go chasing rabbits. Okay, so just again, just tried to give you some things to look at and just kind of how our warped brains kind of see things. Let's see here. I think.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
It is time for me to return to the ship. So have a good weekend, everyone. Full moon next Monday. Take care, and we will see you soon.
Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids.